Will you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we may gather to fellowship and worship your name. We pray that our worship might be pleasing to your sight. Tonight we ask for your love, guidance, and protection in everything we do, but especially over these men leading our service tonight. Give us peace, comfort, and clarity of mind and tongue. We also ask a special prayer for those who are sick or shut in or otherwise unable to attend tonight, particularly for Brett Dampier's mother who fell and broke her hip this morning. Give them guidance and comfort in whatever it is they may be dealing with. Lord, we pray that we now focus our minds towards you in this service. In your name we pray, amen.
We'll be singing There Is a Habitation, song number 536. I repeat, There Is a Habitation. We'll sing the first and last verse. I repeat, There Is a Habitation, song number 536, first and last verse. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing, with glorified immortals, the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? And then this is the song right before our invitation, Low in the Grave He Lay. Song number 143, I repeat, Low in the Grave He Lay, song number 143. We'll also be singing the first and last verse. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Do we have those present this evening who need to take the Lord's Supper? Okay. Do you have your elements available? Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is dealing with some difficulties in the church in Corinth, related to their personal relationships and also related to their worship. And one of the greatest problems that they were having is the fact that they were not respecting and taking the Lord's Supper appropriately. And so he's trying to ground them and bring them back into an understanding of how they were to partake of the Lord's Supper and what their conduct should look like. And he begins in verse 17 saying, you know, I would love to praise you for what you're doing, but I can't praise you for it. Because when you come together, it's not even the Lord's Supper that you are taking. They had made such an abuse of the sharing of communion that it could not even be considered the Lord's Supper any longer. So in verse 23, he tries to bring them back to what he had taught them previously when the church was established in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. We have that recorded for us there. He begins in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." For the last 1900 plus years, when we return to this basic teaching that is found in Matthew 26 and Luke 22, and also related to us here by the Apostle Paul, we get back to the bare bones, so to speak. We get back to the basics of what communion is supposed to entail. He says, I received this from the Lord. This is what I delivered to you, and I'm reminding you of that now. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he reminds them once again, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This instruction is to remain until the Lord returns. So what we participate in on this Lord's Day, in the taking of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine, is divine instruction from Jesus through the apostles. And it comes down to this time, and this is important for us to remember. There's a lot of things that we need reminding of. This is the most important thing that we need to remember. And in this bread and in this fruit of the vine, we remember the Lord's death. Would you pray with me as we give thanks for the body of Christ? Holy, gracious, and loving Father, you delivered to us your Son when it should have been us who died. He prepared himself, and you sent him as the spotless Lamb of God to bear our sins on that cross. As we take this unleavened bread, Father, we remember the body that bore our sins, to make it possible for us not have to bear them ourselves. Help us, Father, to focus upon that body as we take this bread in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue in the giving thanks for the blood of Jesus. Father, you have told us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. And Father, we need the cleansing power of that blood. We thank you for making this available to us before we could even ask, knowing that this was our only avenue for forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus' willingness to shed his blood. And thank you for the value of that blood, the effectiveness of that blood, and the cleansing power of that blood. Father, as we take this cup, we remember the blood that was shed to wash away our sins. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Another remembrance we are called to bring to our minds on the Lord's Day is the number of blessings that have been showered down upon us by our Heavenly Father. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We have everything that we have because He has allowed us to have it. Our food, our clothing, our shelter, our transportation, what money we have in our pocket or in our accounts. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And we should be so grateful for what He allows us to have. And as we come together on the Lord's Day, we remember those blessings. And as we have prospered, we return a portion back to Him. At this time, we'll give thanks for the gift. There are boxes in the foyer if you've not had the opportunity to give today, and there's also an online option you may exercise. Would you pray with me as we give thanks? Holy Father, you are a great and awesome God. We are so blessed beyond measure. We thank you so much for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, but Father, also for the material blessings that are ours in this life. Help us, Father, to not only express appreciation, but to show our appreciation in how we handle those gifts and how we share those gifts with others, but especially with how we return those gifts back to you. Bless us in our giving, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was a long walk. Anyway, so we're going to sing, our song of invitation is going to be 377, Farther Along, 377. And after you've marked that, will you please turn to 392, When Upon Life's Billows. We'll sing a few verses from there, 392, When Upon Life's Billows. And if you will, please stand as we sing this song as well. Shall we sing?
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, see what God has won. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
The scripture reading before the lesson is taken from Psalms chapter 18, verses 20 through 27. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. Amen.
We're going to be looking at humility and pride. Josh asked me a few weeks ago to speak to the youth. And the amazing thing about pride and humility, why do we have to rub it in? Why can't we follow Christ? Empty self. You know, the danger of pride, it's not just in the social setting. It is also our relationship with God. One of my favorite scriptures among many, but Luke 9:23. Jesus tells us, before we can even carry that cross, we have to deny self. Self-denying love, sacrificial love. One thing I've learned with nearly 28 years, I didn't count, I still haven't calculated, 27 years, 10 months, and whatever weeks, days, and hours. But one thing I've learned about the military, coming up as a grunt in the infantry, yes, I was enlisted for a short period of time. It's the sacrifice for the team, even at the cause of death. And one of my mentors said, John, remember this. Just like you can die for Uncle Sam, you may have to die for the church. Now, he put it in real stark. His name is Sam Robinson. He's about, 91 now. I don't think he can recognize me now. But I want to look at the Lord hates pride, and pride defiles a man. But we want to look at, for a few minutes, how we can be humble and why it's imperative. We understand that the world is going to always act like the world. So that shouldn't be any surprise. But when we are with family, Christian family, it should be different. Why do we bring the rubbish, the garbage of the world into our church setting? That's something to ask. We read in Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. New King James says, comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. I don't know if you can read that, but I'm not going to read the slides, okay? I'm going to go ahead and we want to understand, now this is a generic definition by C.S. Lewis, what humility is. And it's not belittling yourself. We should always recognize that we have talents, we have abilities, we have opportunities to excel. But the question is, what are we doing with it? And at the same time, we must respect others that are different than we are, recognizing, too, that they have the same potential as well. So we see here, why are we talking about humility? Well, I just mentioned what the Lord tells us to do if we're going to be true, dedicated believers. We have to deny self. Got to deny, we have to empty self. I remember talking to a student, and it was during recess, got to put a one-on-one. Student was in the fifth grade. And he said, Mr. Bell, I just can't ignore her. I said, yes, you can. If you don't, you'll go to and see the principal's best friend. Then I got his attention. But the emphasis is with us. Why can't we humble ourselves? Is that too much to ask? No, it's not too much to ask. It's a willingness to say, hey, look, I'm going to take second place. Even at, to the extent that it may bring me down a couple of more notches. Now, what I put up here is something that I thought that was real good. You see, number 7, be kind. Number 6, stay humble. This was off the bulletin board of an 8th grade class. I'm not going to name the middle school, but some of us know what that middle school is. But anyway, the point of emphasis here that I'm trying to share with the youth tonight is we read in 16:18 of Proverbs, chapter 16, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty attitude or a haughty spirit for a fall. Reflect back on your life. Those things, especially when you have all of a sudden blown up. That situation didn't go good, did it? No, it did not. Why? This verse, let the Bible be true and every man, what? A lie. Usually, generally, normally, we may not get payback on this side of time. It may come later. But the Bible is true. Humility precedes honor, like arrogance goes before destruction. We read in Proverbs 18:12 and also in Proverbs 22:4. One politician was making a comparison with the politics of this decade, comparing back during Ronald Reagan back in the 80s. And I'm speaking to a lot of us who have been around for about 40 or 60 years like I have. And you notice that it wasn't so much, well, it was still bitterness, but it seemed like that we kind of condone a little bit, okay, well, it's for the common good of the people. Well, we have a higher calling. And that's Christ Jesus. Self don't have anything to do with it. That's what's the beautiful part about this. You can work behind the scenes. You can be effective. You can be a humble servant and still receive the same rewards. Okay, this is, you can read that. A lot of times we divide over ignorant things. Let me put it that way. I'm not going to use the other word. It wasn't a bad word, Jerry. It was a good word, but ignorant things. And the thing is, it don't amount to anything. What we should be concerned with is with those who don't know the Bible, don't know Jesus. Now, we're going to have neighbors who probably have the same as I do, but we have to exemplify humility. We have to exemplify kindness. There's Luke 9:23 again. Again, we're not thinking less of ourselves, but it's thinking of yourself less. In other words, we're not making a big deal if something is right, if something is wrong. You know, as long as God gets the glory, that's the bottom line. That's what we're trying to strive to excel to. As we watch the world, race, as they run, what are they running after? More money? I don't know. But it's like being on a treadmill. So our emphasis needs to be put on Christ. We're not trying to use the same criteria as the world does, because that will fall. How do we get here to a place where we idealize self-importance and belittle meekness and humility? Like most problems in life, due to miscommunication, misinterpretation, we've given humility the wrong definition and associated humility with putting ourselves down when in fact it's the opposite. We are trying to excel with Christ, not with self. Some people, we have to be careful about idols of this world. One of my favorite idols was Michael Jordan. Before him, it was Jim Brown, John Unitas, Jackie Robinson, Mickey Mantle, you know, athletes. But we have to turn that off. We don't want to put too much attention with this world, because if we do, what's going to happen? We're going to wind up with the wrong type of definition. So it's important that we practice self-control, self-discipline, and definitely patience. Now, that's a sermon in itself, having patience. We read here in Colossians 3:12, English Standard. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let's pause for a few minutes and understand what Paul is emphasizing here. Verse 14. Above all, put on love. You know, we love the dog, we love pizza, we love the Gators, or you might love the Georgia Bulldogs, I don't know. But we're talking about agape love. Unconditional love. And if you look at some of the scriptures that we have read in Proverbs, you notice how humility always takes the side of wisdom. Remember, we just read Proverbs 11:2. So if you're humble, that's a wise thing to do. It is foolish to do the opposite. Sometimes I have to kind of pinch myself. Oh, wait a minute. I think Margarita is right. Let's just assume that. And by George, yep, John was wrong. Okay, husbands, y'all get that? I'm stepping on toes. I wasn't supposed to meddle. This was supposed to be for the youth. We read in John 2:15. I stand corrected. Do not love the world or things in this world. If anyone loves the world love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The pride of life. Now, if you look at that verse, the pride of life, and above all these things, put on love. Now, this is where Satan come in with his fine weaponry, lies, deceit. He changed that love to lust, okay? What is lust? What can I get out of it? And then once you put I in it, you can forget about the teamwork. That's why many marriages fail, because we forget that we're a team. We'll bind in perfect harmony. Well, if we have pride, we're not in perfect harmony. Look at Satan. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. He didn't want to submit. He did not want to honor God the Father. So in closing, let me hit on a couple of highlights. We must be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5:6, we must humble before God. It's nothing wrong. I remember as a kid, nice guys finish last. Well, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. See that? So continue to be a nice guy. Don't worry about it. You'll get your reward. You know, be humble in our dealings with our brethren in Christ. Philippians 2:3. Be humble in dealing with those around us. Even, now this is tough for me, even those who oppose us. It's hard for me to love my enemies, but I got to do it. I got to forgive them. Why? So that can come back to me. You know, Jesus tells us, hey, if you refuse to forgive someone, don't expect God to forgive you. Okay? So we see here, the world like to be a bully, like to be a macho man. All of that is a bunch of chaos, and I'm going to say a lot of smoke, okay? Don't hold a grain of weight. But we must stand on the truth and imitate, exemplify Christ. Humility is the mark of wisdom. Humility is the way Christ came down from heaven. Think about it. Why would Jesus leave perfect heaven to die for somebody like me? Somebody like us. Think about that. But one day we'll understand it by and by. I've gone for about too long. If you have had a hang-up, caught up with the pop culture, have it your way, demanding your rights, that's not the way of the cross. We're going to sing the invitation song, and then your lesson is yours as we together sing. Stand and sing.
It should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our love, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Farther understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Our last song before I have our closing prayer is going to be 535, Sing to Me of Heaven, 535. Sing all three verses of this one, 535.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angel throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rising swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all.
Please bow with me as we go to our closing prayer. God, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be here and worship you tonight. Be with the sick and the people who couldn't attend with us tonight. Please be with us throughout the week and keep us safe and bring us to our next opportunity and time together. Amen.